Let's pray. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives our service find. In deeper reverence, praise. Lord, we come seeking your help. We come, Lord, because we are empty and we need to be filled. We come because we are hungry and we need the food of your word. So Lord, feed us now, we pray, so that we will be satisfied. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so my focus this morning, we are continuing our study in 1 Peter, this first Sunday in Lent, so we will continue it throughout Lent. It is quite appropriate for the Lenten season anyway. This morning, my intention is to focus on just two verses, 11 and 12. I realized last week I gave you too much to eat, and it could have caused indigestion. So I don't want to do that this morning. I just want to give you a bite size this morning. It is a lot there. I do meditate on this reading. We are not going to look at from verse 13 to 17, but as you will see, it does encompass that as well. But verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. That's our topic this morning. Live distinctive Christian lives. Now, of course, in our reading so far, Peter is about to transition in his letter from who we are. Remember, last week was all about who we are. We are royal priesthood, holy nation, and so on, chosen, special, precious to God. He's moving from that now to how we are to live. And actually the rest of 1 Peter is really about how we are to live. How we are to live in the society. That's the next section. This particular section that we're looking at this morning. How we are to live in the workplace. In the rest of chapter 2. How we are to live in the home. Chapter 3. And the church. You see, and so the panoramic view here is that Peter is showing us these, now that we know who you are, this is how you are to conduct yourself. We are, as he reminds us here again, as he did in chapter 1, we are foreigners and exiles in this world. And as foreigners and exiles, we do not belong to this world. Our home is elsewhere. We are living in a society in which we are aliens. The values of the culture are alien to the values of the kingdom of God. The Christian belongs to a radically different kingdom than the one in which we currently live. We live here. But our home is not here. And we are to always have that in our mind. You know, he said that in chapter 1 about three places. Now again in chapter 2, he's reminding us as he goes into the practicality of his letter, we are foreigners and exiles. As I was thinking about this week, Jeremiah came to mind. Jeremiah was one of the prophets of the exile in Babylon in the Old Testament. If you remember, the children of Israel were taken by the Babylonians into exile. They were taken from their homeland into a country that they did not belong. As They were aliens, they were strangers, they were foreigners. If you remember the psalm, by the rivers of Babylon, when we sat down, we wept when we remember Zion. Yeah? And Jeremiah was one of those prophets. And Jeremiah said this to the people in exile. Remember, they are in Babylon, not their home. He said in chapter 29, verse 7, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile," says the Lord. "Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." You see, Jeremiah says the Lord is saying to the people in exile, seek the peace, the shalom of the city in which you live, in which you are exiled. Seek the well-being of the pagan city, even though it's not your home. Because what happens if you pray for that city, if you try to get that city to do well, you will do well. Just because you are a foreigner in the city doesn't mean you are to treat it badly. You are to pray for the well-being of the pagan culture. You see. So Peter is echoing some of those very sentiments here. We are exiles living in Babylon. So how should we live? What should be our attitude towards the hostile culture around us? But before he gets into the specifics, he gives us two strategies for living, and those are the two strategies that I want to focus on this morning in verses 11 and 12. The first of the strategy is internal, in our souls, inside us. The second is external, outside of us. The first is a spiritual battle that is happening in our souls. The second is physical in terms of our outward show of faith. So the first, as aliens and strangers in this world, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. That's verse 11. Abstain. And Peter is saying there is a battle going on in our souls, and we are to fight the insidious desire to conform to the standards of this world. Sinful desires are raging warfare in our souls, and we must conquer them. Sinful desires are fighting to destroy our souls, and we must resist them. So, what are these sinful desires? In the Old King James, it used to be, it says, fleshly desires. There's a word that I want you to know, that just to say, the word that Peter uses here for desires is a word, it's epithumia, which is a good word to know. It means over desires. You see, there are certain things that we are to desire, and there are certain things that we are not to desire as Christians. There are some good things that we desire too much, and these are the over desires. So this word, epithumia, covers all desires that are not acceptable for the Christian to have. All forbidden desires. Those desires could include anything that's in the scriptures. I'll just give you one example. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul gives us 15 things that are epithumia, desires that we should not have. So I will read it in Galatians 5, reading from verse 16. And by the way, this is just before he starts the list of the fruit of the Spirit. We're taking that down. Sorry, that happens. But if you remember, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so on. Just before he gets to that list, because we always read the list and we forget what comes before. This is what Paul says, chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires, epithumia, of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies, and such other things as these. I warn you, says Paul, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and so on. So, that first list, these are the sinful desires that we are to fight against in our souls. But the desires that Peter have in mind, that Peter has in mind here, covers those things, but much more, not in terms of quantity, but in terms of quality. They are bad desires that we are to stay away from, like the ones that Paul mentioned. But Peter has something more in mind. He's talking about good desires, not the bad ones. Good desires that we want too much. You see, and I think this is especially important during Lent, because Lent is a time to remember our spiritual poverty by limiting our worldly desires. This could mean good things, good desires, food. It could mean technology. It could mean leisure time, career, even family time. The point is that there are some desires that we want too much. They are good for us in general, and there is nothing wrong with them per se, but if we desire them too much, Peter says that they will war against our souls. They are struggling for importance in our souls. They are seeking preeminence in our souls. They are strangling our souls. Some of these desires are bad, yes, like the ones that Paul mentioned, but some of them are not bad. They are good, but we want them too much. They are trying to take pride of place in our souls. And Peter says, we should not let that be. These are normal things, normal desires. Desire for money, for food, for excellence in your career, for good relationships, a desire for a husband, a desire for a wife, a desire for a child, a desire for health, a desire for wealth. Nothing bad about these desires. But when they become epithumia, over desires, they are embedded too deep in our souls, and they become strangling our spiritual life. And Peter says we are to get rid of them. So the first task that we are to do as foreigners in this world is to do an internal audit of our souls. What are the things we desire? Are they good for us? Do they promote holiness in us? Do they give God glory and not just for ourselves? Are our desires helping our spiritual life, or are they hindering our spiritual life with God? Do we have good desires that are crowding out God in our lives? You see, they take up the space where God should be. Put them in their rightful place. Either you get rid of them because they're bad, or you prioritize them because they're good, but they're in too deep. They are strangling your soul. They are squeezing the spiritual life out of you. Peter says, get rid of them. They might be good desires, but they're not good for your soul. Second, so that's my first point. There are 2 points. Second point, verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. In other words, not only are we to abstain from desires that are seeking to destroy our souls, but we are to live in such a way that our lives become commendable to those we live amongst, and that through our actions, they may be converted and glorify God. Now, Peter says the pagans, what are these pagans? I mean, it's just to say quickly, Peter is not talking about paganism, which is a religion. Okay, it's a different thing altogether. Of course, paganism is just as pagan as every other pagan. But pagan for Peter means anyone who rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anybody who rejects the gospel of Christ is a pagan. So a pagan in the New Testament is someone who rejects Christ. In this sense, we live among pagans. We are surrounded by pagans. They are in our community, in our country, and many of us have them even in our family. They are pagans. People who reject the gospel of Christ. And Peter is saying that our lives must be of the quality that is commendable to the pagans. Our lives must show the gospel in action. We must seek to live good lives, to do good, to practice righteousness in an unrighteous society, among unrighteous people, so that they will see our lives and be attracted to Christ in us, to the point where they themselves become converted, not so much because we have said anything to them, but because they see something in us. That's what Peter is saying. And by the way, he's going to talk more about this later on in his letter. The word that Peter uses for live good lives, I'm not going to give you that word, but that word actually means beautiful or attractive. And so Peter is saying that our lives must become attractive to the pagans amongst whom we live. When they look at our behavior, they will see something beautiful and attractive. Of course, we are not attractive in ourselves. We're attractive in Christ. But the pagans don't know that. So when they look at us, they need to see the beauty of Jesus. So Peter assumes that Christians living in a non-Christian environment will be falsely accused of all sorts of immorality and indecent behavior. Peter is saying, let their accusations be false. Live in such a way that even though they accuse you of wrong, they will be shown to be wrong. The pagans will taunt you. They will seek to undermine your faith. They will accuse you of wrong conduct. They will accuse you of all sorts of false things. But Peter says, let those things be false. I was listening this week to an interview by a woman named Asiya Bibi, the Pakistani Christian who was imprisoned for 9 years for the false accusation of blasphemy in Pakistan against Islam. She's a Christian. She said in her interview, just one snippet, she said that the accusation was false, but she never got the opportunity to defend herself. She was thrown into prison purely on the basis of false accusations of malicious people. and she never had a day in court for 9 years. Now, Peter is saying that is what we all face in a pagan society. We nice, it's quite nice in Britain. We haven't faced that yet. But the early Christians faced exactly that and worse. The people to whom Peter was writing. And so we are to live in such a way that their accusations will be shown to be false. We should not give the world ammunition against us. We are to live lives that exemplify Christ in us. And they should see the beauty of Jesus in us. Our lives must show Jesus. And so Christians are to be known in the world, not just for what we are against, as we fight against sin and sinful desires, but we are also to be known for what we stand for, how we live our lives. We are to gain a reputation in the pagan society for people who live good lives, people who do good deeds, people who can be trusted to look after their children. We are to gain reputation in the world that though they do not like our beliefs, they love our behavior. You know, there's one letter that was written in the early church, in the first century, I think it was, by a pagan person, a Roman official, about Christians. And this person said, I didn't quote the actual letter, I didn't put it in my sermon, but this person said, talking about Christians, he said, they look after the poor and the disadvantaged among themselves, but they look after our poor and disadvantaged as well. Not just their own, they look after ours as well. This is about the Christians. They live exemplary lives so that the pagans respected them because of the lives they live. And so as we live such lives among the pagans, Peter said, they will be converted through our actions, not just our words. They will be drawn to this good life. They will be attracted to our lives and come to know God through how we live. The early Christians lived in the Roman Empire, but they lived as strangers and foreigners. They knew that their true home was not in the Roman Empire. This is why when they were persecuted and killed, they could go to the lions singing hymns. They were tortured and killed with songs of praise on their lips to show their persecutors that they could kill the body, but they couldn't kill the soul. Christians have always been slandered by pagans in the culture. The early Christians were called cannibals, because people misunderstood the Lord's Supper. They were told that when Christians gather, they eat flesh and drink blood. And so they were called cannibals. They were called antisocial because they wouldn't socialize with unbelievers in clubs and social gatherings. Not because they had something against clubs and social gatherings, but because when you go to these places, you had to swear allegiance to the emperor, and Christians would not do that. So they were considered not very sociable people. They were accused of being atheists. Why? Because they had no statues or pictures of their God. What kind of God is that? You talk about God, where is he? What does he look like? You see, they were accused of incest and immorality. Why? Because apparently when they gather together, they have love feasts among their brothers and sisters. They were immoral people. And because they didn't understand what was going on, Christians were slandered. And you see, all these, we were saying yesterday in the Revelation course, all these slanderous accusations were brought against Christians in court and in the public arena. So that when widespread persecution started, it was easy for people to betray their Christian neighbors, to be imprisoned. Why? Because they already had negative views about them. They already slandered them. And Peter says, when they say these things about you, let it be false. Let it not be true. And so two challenges for us as Christians, as we live in this pagan culture. Two challenges as I finish this morning. One, fight against the desires that are seeking to destroy your soul. That's the first thing. Do not allow desires of any kind to destroy your relationship with God. Whether good desire or bad desire, Peter says, they are seeking to destroy you. Get rid of them. Put God back in the center of your soul and get rid of those desires that are taking over. You see, it's those desires that are causing you suffering and grief. If you put God back, this is one of those things that I talk to people all the time about. People have desires that keep them from church, have desires that keep them from prayer, have desires that keep them from doing things that would get them closer to God. And so during this Lent, get rid of those desires. Draw nearer to God. Put those desires in their rightful place. Some of those desires, nothing's wrong with them at all. They're perfectly good, but they're in the wrong place. It's like I was listening to this lady this week talking about flowers and plants, and I know nothing about gardening, but this person said, somebody said to her, how do you determine a weed? Which I loved her answer. She said, a weed is a flower in the wrong place. Isn't that nice? Absolutely beautiful. Many of us have weeds in the wrong place in our desires, you see. It can be a flower, but it's in the wrong place. I love that. A weed is a flower in the wrong place. Secondly, live your life so that it shows the beauty of Jesus Christ. So that pagans accuse you of wrongdoing, but their accusations will prove false. Live exemplary lives as you seek to serve God in this world. So that when they look at your life, it will show the beauty of Jesus Christ. They'll be attracted to your life. Not because of you, yourself, how nice person or good person, but because they see something in you that they don't see in their other pagan neighbor. That is what Peter is telling us. And as I said, he's going to outline this greater as he goes on. So let, you know, the great song we have, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. As you go to work, as you socialize, as you live in the community, let Jesus shine through you so that the pagans will be amazed at your attitude, your behavior. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit to help us to get rid of the epithumia, the evil desires, the over desires in our souls. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to help us to live such good lives, beautiful lives, that those we live amongst in our society will be attracted to you through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.